yeah, there you go. Guys, welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to the Ageless Wonders podcast here with myself, Jonye Lockett, and my co-host,
Todd Gimbel. Welcome. Hey, we got some music. We're getting our act together here. The great Abby Posner music composed a little intro for us. We're going to figure out how to make that sound good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're going to have some fun on here. Like always, guys, we said over the last couple of episodes, work in progress. But, you know, we're going to have some fun. We're going to bring you guys some good, relatable information from two older gentlemen who are trying to remain as young as possible for as long as possible. But as Father Time tries to bring us down to the dirt, and we say no. And here
we
are.
Which brings us to today, you know?
Absolutely.
It's been really interesting, and you and I have talked about this, but I've been working out. I'm in pretty good shape. But the most difficult thing that I've had to try to deal with is this kind of spare tire around my gut. I would say, like, from the chest up and the waist down, I'm in as good shape as I've ever been in. But yep. This last little thing is, like, really hard to get rid of for a lot of reasons. So I thought that you and I could talk about it, kind of how it happens and why, and then some ideas of how to get rid of it. And I have volunteered to be the guinea pig of the guy who tries to get his stomach shrunken. I'm gonna have to do some stuff beyond just smile and eat all the stuff I usually eat. So why don't you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, we'll talk about it a little bit. So as you guys, the listeners, if you have been with us over the last couple of episodes, first couple of episodes, you know that that Todd and I's relationship is the coach client slash friend, and so that's actually how we started this podcast. But some of the banter that we've talked about is how we navigate our weight as we get older, right? One of the most common things that you will hear from people that are in their either late 30s getting into or approaching their 40s is, oh my gosh, I can't get this body fat off, and my clothes aren't fitting the way that they used to. And you know, the common thing that you hear from women is like, oh my God, my legs, my hips, my butt. And then common thing you hear from men is, oh my gosh, this belly, I'm getting this dad bod belly, and I'm starting to be shaped like a pear and all that fun stuff. So these are very, very common things. If it's usually dictated by lifestyle, nutrition, hormones, there's a lot of different factors to it. So just know to the audience out there, you are not alone. It is common. But there are also some very common things that we do in our day-to-day lifestyle that actually helps that tire or those hips and those legs get a little bit bigger. Right?
Well, you know, before you jump into that, I was going to say that, you know, for me, I weighed like the same weight till I was in my late 20s. And it was like, I don't know, like weighed 165 or something like that. Yep. And all of a sudden I bumped up to like 180, 185. And I kept that, you know, back in those days when you're young, you're doing stuff, you're running around, your metabolism's moving faster. And I think you just naturally, if you're an active person, kind of, I never had to think about anything. I always weighed the same no matter what. And I didn't like do anything specific. Sure. And then more recently, when I hit the late 50s, early 60s, you know, I'm hovering around that 200 mark, which I don't want to be above. I'd love to get back to my 185 from my younger days. And it's been a challenge, but I probably haven't addressed it as aggressively as maybe we're going to try, but in a measured way, if that makes
sure.
sense.
Yeah, no, totally makes sense. So when we first started, do you remember how much you weighed? Because I don't think you may have grazed 200 maybe once or twice since we started. I think you might have been right above 200 when we first started, but you haven't been lately, have you?
I've never really been too much above it. I kind of hit it and then I freak out. So I was probably like in my mid to upper 190s.
Got it. Yeah. And that's kind of where we've been, like that 195, hovering in that 195-ish area.
But we haven't had you down. Depends on what day I weigh myself. What time of day. Exactly. In the morning, boo, I feel great, but don't weigh myself after dinner.
Now, with that in mind, I do want to say, and I've said this already in a past show, the scale weight is great, but the belt test is best. And the reason why is, you just mentioned it, is the scale loves to fluctuate, and it loves to fluctuate based on how much sleep you've had, how active you've been, how much sodium you've consumed. For women, if you're going through hormonal changes,
you just went to the bathroom.
You just went to the bathroom. You just drank a gallon of beer on Saturday. You know, like all those. I might, but all those different things, all those different things will play a bit of a role, right? So, I've never really asked you to jump on a scale. I don't think I've ever really said to you or emphasized like what your scale weight is. We've been doing most of our programming based on how you feel and trying to improve your overall work capacity, and measuring your overall strength. Right. So that's really been the goal, is trying to put muscle on you, get you physically stronger, and increase your ability to do more activity, leisurely activities on your own, as well as your mobility. And those things you have done really, really well.
And to your point, like I we've talked a little about this, like the scale's great. I pop on it once in a while just to kind of get a sense. But the stuff we're doing, you know, we're putting on some muscle that's got some weight to it. So it's more how you feel, how you look. And like I said, from here up and from the waist down, I feel and look great. I just have, now I'm just starting to see this kind of like Buddha thing emerging here that we need to back off before I become some, you know, Buddhist deity.
But the best thing is though, you're self-aware of your transition into Buddha. You know what I mean? That's half the battle, is being able to recognize like, I'm putting this work in, but something's not right. Something's just not sitting well. And to your point, you can see yourself in the mirror test is really the best one, because you can see yourself and you're like, the arms are popping, the shoulders are popping, the calves are looking like a thoroughbred. And then all of a sudden you look down and you're like, but this gut is still a problem.
Yeah, well, so
let's talk about that a little bit. Let's talk about it a little bit, because we're going to dive into a little bit of detail, because you're not alone in this. I go through it too.
I know.
I fluctuate up and down.
My barometer isn't when I look in the mirror. My barometer is when I walk out to go to bed, and my beautiful wife said, "I said, look at these muscles." She goes, "Yeah, but what about your gut?"
Right. Hey, she's being honest, right? She's like, "You got a good one." She's being honest with you. She's not going to tell you any fables.
She's too honest.
Unfortunately, yeah.
Lie to me once in a while.
Yeah, every now and then, just tell me, like, just be like, you know what, babe, you look just fantastic from head to toe.
All right.
But let's talk about actually, honey is a very important piece of this conversation, just for your household, because we're going to use you as kind of the litmus of your fitness journey, right? So tell me a little bit about your dietary the diet for your family. Like, how do you guys eat? How do you typically, take me over the last like couple of years, because you've played with a couple of different nutrition plans or guidelines, if you will.
Yeah.
You've IF'd, you've done some protein stuff. So, but give me just a 35,000 foot view of your household.
Well, and I will say for the record, I used to work for Herbalife Nutrition, and I'm still a fan. And I think that number of years there got me a little more attuned to supplements as something to supplement what you're doing, not to be the be all end all for what you're doing. So I've been doing that for a while, but let's say generally what I do is I probably have one big meal a day, and that's dinner. And as you know, my wife, Hani, is a really good cook. She's Malay. She makes really good Malay food. It includes a lot of rice and noodles but also protein, you know, chicken and beef and things like that. So I have probably too much for dinner and probably more rice or noodles than I should. I do not usually eat breakfast. I kind of try to do intermittent fasting. So in a perfect world, I would stop eating after dinner, and then I wouldn't eat till like around lunchtime.
In a perfect world,
but I am very imperfect. I try to drink a lot of water. I know that that's something I have to get back up to a certain level at, but I try to do that. When we work out, I do a pre-workout drink that's got some BCAAs and caffeine and some, you know, some of those things that get you like ready to work out. And then usually after we work out, which is 3 days a week, I'll have either a protein shake that's pre-made. I have the milk kind and then the plant-based kind sometimes. Or I will have Greek yogurt with some granola and a little bit of agave sugar in it, right? Gotcha. And I do.
So you're, eating. Oh, sorry. Go ahead. Keep continue.
No. So I eat about 1 to 2 meals a day. I do also have this other thing where my wife loves to go to diners. So at least once or twice a week, usually on the weekends, we'll go have like a probably not so healthy for you diner.
Is that good old Teddy's? Restaurant.
We go to Teddy's. We go to this Hawaiian place. We go to CJ's. A lot of good places here in LA for your diner breakfast. True. we do get our share of that on occasion.
Love it.
The Got big picture.
It. Okay. Very good. Very good. So when you break that down, so eating, you know, one big meal and one smallish meal a day is pretty much like your typical day, right? Would you say?
Yeah. Okay. Pretty much.
So that's pretty common. It's interesting. We as a society are either severely overfed and undernourished. And what I mean by that is we consume a lot of food that are not calorie dense, but they're not nutrient dense.
They got nothing good for you in them. Right.
Nothing good for you.
Just purely a waste of calories.
Correct. That's exactly right. So we eat a ton of empty calories without much nutrition. And that's one of the main reasons why most Americans, I think the number now is about 70% of adults in the United States are considered overweight. And the kids are right around that same number. So the flip side of that is, are we exercising enough? Are we getting enough movement? 9 times out of 10, it's no. So you combine lack of movement and then being overfed and without a lot of good quality micronutrients and macronutrients, then it's a recipe for illness. The body is just like searching for something to heal itself. And next thing you know, we've got autoimmune issues that are different from person to person. And then it also promotes excess weight gain, which is what we're talking about in body fat. On the flip side of that, it's also very easy to undereat. Like I was having a conversation with my mom yesterday. So my mom is 82 now, still with us, still extremely active, lives by herself and is truly independent, but she also doesn't necessarily eat regularly all the time. And so our appetites also change. How we digest food changes as we get older. And you know, there are people who just literally forget to eat. There are people out there.
Living alone is one of those factors because, you know, when you're in a family, you've got a little kid. So when Jacob needs to eat, so you guys eat because you got a kid who needs to eat. You got a nuclear family. Your mom, who, by the way, I know, and she's the greatest and probably knows more about football than you do. She lives alone generally, right? So it's a little harder to cook for one. It's a little harder. It's a little easier to just say, I'll skip this meal.
I'll get to it later. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. It's very true. So there's usually a spectrum of either or. So either overfed or we're not eating enough. So trying to find that right balance becomes the challenge. It's like, where can we meet in the middle without trying to reinvent the wheel? And a lot of people will fail along their journey because they're trying to change everything all at the same time. Right. So they're trying to eat way too much food all the time and then they don't want to do it, or they're restricting everything out of their life after eating a certain way and living a certain lifestyle. And then, you know, you got people that will decide that, okay, well, I guess the only thing I can have now is salad and a piece of fruit and water. And now they're starving themselves all day long.
Go way over to the other side.
It's like a huge pendulum swing.
But I think another thing you mentioned about trying to do it all at once, and this is we've talked about this a lot. That is, it's hard to like totally change 20 things in one shot. It's easier to phase stuff in. We talked about how long it takes to build up habits, things like
right,
that.
Yeah. Last episode. Yep.
And I always think about, you've heard me say this, like the golf swing analogy. If you want to fix your golf swing and there's five things wrong with it, and you start thinking all five things, you will not even hit the ball at all. You've yep. got to fix one little thing at a time until it becomes automatic, and then you layer in another thing. Because if you try to fix all those things at once, you're going to fail and you're going to get frustrated. And I think with trying a new diet, with trying to develop some new habits, it's, I think it's, for a guy like me, it's much better to phase them in than to say, okay, from now on, here's the 10 things you got to do starting today. I'd fail right. in like 2 seconds.
Yeah. And you want to your point, you want to layer, right? One of my clients, Mike, we just had the same conversation. It's interesting that you just brought up the golf analogy, because he was actually telling me this, that same thing about golf last week. He's an avid golfer and was playing in a tournament. And I had asked him, you know, how it went, and it went really well for him. But for the last 2.5 months or so, he's been working on a swing, on a new like swing pattern. And so he's been working with a golf pro a couple times a week. And he says to me, yeah, the hardest thing is there's like three different things that he wants me to focus on, but I've got to spend all my time doing this one thing. Otherwise, yeah. if I try all three of them, I end up going back to my old ways. And so he yeah, literally yeah. just said that and used the exact same analogy a week ago.
Yeah, and it's so true. Like, and same with like anything, with any sport, baseball, batting, you know, you've got a million different moves and you can't fix 10 of them at a time. You have yeah. to face, you know, we have these big brains. We can do complex things. We can multitask, but... Mm-hmm. It's much easier to unitask, get it done, make it part of your like routine, and then add another task to your task list, you know?
Sure, sure. And I mean, look, as we get older too, to your point, like we're busy. Like people in there that are parents and have kids and full-time jobs, and some people commute. Some, you know, for those that are fortunate to work from home.
Sadly, people still have to do that, don't they?
Yeah. A matter of finding, not finding the time. I like to say creating. Yep. Exactly. So tell me a little bit about what we did today. So you wanted to sure. really take a deep dive into really taking some inches off of that waistline, right?
Yeah, I think it's time. And I've been beating around the bush, and you know me, I need like to be motivated by some sort of a challenge or a project. So we talked about this, and today we did, and we will show you the tape at some point, a measurement of my big belly. And you walked through it, so we'll show that. But once we get that measurement, which, by the way, is way bigger than my waist size. you know, then I'm committed to
following
your lead.
Are you saying you
have
a muffin top?
I have a little bit of a muffin top thing going. So the thinking is, you're going to, as we just talked about, layer in some stuff for me so that over time, I'm going to be creating some new habits, some better habits, not totally thrown out the window all the good stuff I love to do that I shouldn't be doing. Mm-hmm. And then on a periodic basis, we'll do a remeasure to see if the old tape is getting shorter.
Yeah, that's it. That's exactly right. So we'll probably reassess again in about 30 days. And we're going to give ourselves about 8 weeks to get this, 6 to 8 weeks to get some significant change going. I think that'll be enough. It'll be long
so
enough.
By the end of the year. By the end of the year. Because
right,
we're
as we approach the holiday here. Yeah, exactly yeah. right. Well, the December holidays at the end of the month is a perfect time. So we'll be able to navigate, not only that, navigate through Thanksgiving, navigate through the holiday parties, navigate through the Hanukkah and Christmas celebrations and all that fun stuff. So the key is we're just going to, like we just discussed, layer in little habits. So I'm going to give you like two tasks to focus on, likely going to be centered around hitting a water target and trying to increase your protein intake. and making a little bit of an exchange there with the amount of carbohydrates that you're eating in the forms of rice and the noodles and the honey specials. So not saying that you can't go to Teddy's and CJ's, not saying that, but it's going to give you, it's going to force you to be a little more strategic in how you put your meals together. That's really what it comes down to, is small little habits and incremental changes in little areas, rather than trying to reinvent the wheel and just put you on a strict juice diet and followed by the detox tea and then and then going to get into the sauna and doing all that stuff. That's just not what we do.
I mean, I don't mind doing that, but I'd love to sweat it all off. I'd love to find a passive way to do it, of course. So exactly. So the first thing you mentioned, I know, is a huge deal, and that's water. Maybe for today, walk us through the kind of theory and philosophy behind water and how much one should probably try to drink in a 24-hour period.
Well, the thing that most of us forget since we've left high school is water is the most abundant human resource, because we are made up of about 70% water.
Right.
So not getting enough of it means that our organs and our digestive system and our thoughts, because of our brain and all that stuff, it helps everything work and function properly. So getting enough water, that's why, you know, mom and dad and the coaches and everybody when we're growing up say, make sure you drink your water. Now we drink it in the form of Gatorade and fruit juice and beer and whatever else. We drink everything except for water, or we're looking for an additive to put in the water, which is fine. And again, there's plenty of really good electrolytes and magnesium and stuff like that, sodium, that's really good for you. But most of us don't get enough of it, right? So the initial target I like to give my adults is at least half of your body weight in ounces per day. Can we start there? So that's usually the assessment, would be how much water are you actually drinking now?
I'm too fat to do that. I need that's like, that would be what, 100 ounces? That's a lot. That's more, like, I thought.
Guess
a gallon
how much is in a gallon?
64, right?
No, that's a half gallon. 128. So when I was doing 75, when I was doing 75 hard, I was drinking a minimum of 100. Look it up right now. Yeah, you go ahead and find that. 128 ounces is 1 gallon. So yes, you're still going to be slightly short.
Correct, sir.
Why, thank you.
I've been out of high school way longer than you.
There we go. So
I bet my high school guy falling... doesn't know that answer either, though.
Yeah, absolutely. So so most people are drinking maybe 2 to 3 of those little bottles of water that are only about 17 ounces. So think about that. So
16.
There you go. So you drink 2 or 3 of those a day, and most people think that they're hydrated, and then they're far from it. Far from it. So a few things will happen. It will, number one, cause you to go to the bathroom a little more often because you're not used to it.
Which is fine.
Which is fine, because the more water you're drinking, that's actually how we extract body fat, is through fluids. You know, we either urinate it out or we sweat it out.
Yep.
So it's actually a really, really important piece to the puzzle. So the first thing we're going to focus on is making sure you're getting enough water. Then we're also going to focus on, as I mentioned just a moment ago, increasing your protein intake. And we'll discuss that offline and come up with some targets. And then the third thing would be just, which is going to be super simple too, is increasing your low level activity, meaning just getting more steps or bike rides, or doesn't have to be, I'm not talking about extra workouts. I'm just talking about more low level movement and activity. We talked about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like instead of like my 18-year-old who will take one of those electric scooters if he has to go more than 10 steps.
This is true.
I prefer to walk. So I'll walk the 7 blocks to the coffee place or and back. But I also was for a while doing an additional 45-minute walk a day, just listening to podcasts and doing stuff till I lost my earbuds in Wisconsin.
You quit walking while you're in Wisconsin. That's the best.
I know. I was fine there, but I lost my earbuds there. I left them somewhere. I found where they are, but I can't get them. Anyway, that's a different story.
Oh, my gosh. That's hilarious. Hilarious.
So
those little things is where we're going to start. Yeah. So we're going to just kind of make those little changes. increasing your water intake, making sure you're moving a little bit more when we're not together on your own, and just kind of rearranging what your plate looks like. We're not going to necessarily change what you're eating. Right. We're just going to change the volume of the macronutrients that you're consuming already.
So, and that's where we're gonna start. So since I come pretty close to the gallon just by my weight, let's say I'll try to do a gallon of water a day, and I will start that today.
Ladies and gentlemen, did he just commit to drinking a gallon of water per day? Is that what I just heard you say?
I can do that.
You're going to go 128 every day?
I'll go 128, which is it's an extra 28 on top of my weight. So.
Okay. All right. I like it.
I've got this big water thing, and I'm schlepping around with it.
That's exactly what I was going to say. So if you have something that's measurable, if you're the person that buys the cases of water, then you're going to want to count out how many of those you need per day, or get your own jug and fill it with a dispenser. And then you're going to want to calculate that out. So I carry you've seen my big gray, insulated one. That's a half a gallon. So
and
I got to drink two of those a day.
Honestly, in my real life, I'm also doing a lot of work in the environmental sustainability area. So get a big jug. Don't get 10 plastic bottles like this. I got this. Yes. Someone gave me this case of these. I've tried not to buy those. If you've got, for example, there's a filter on my refrigerated water, so I can just drink the filtered water, and it's out of one jug and fill it up and put some ice in there. And it's a lot better for the planet than leaving 50 of these around after a couple of days.
That is very, very true. And for me, the main reason that I stopped using the individual water bottles is because I would lose them. I'd forget them. Or if I had one, my wife has one, and Jacob has one, and we don't have a Sharpie, so we don't know whose is whose. So I started doing my own, and it just truly keeps me accountable. So one of the strategies that works for me, everybody, do what works best for you. My daughter has a jug that has like the times on it, like drink to this point at this time, which is pretty cool. So you can find those pretty much online anywhere. But I would make sure that I get to my halfway point by 2 o'clock. That is my target. So I've got to be at 64 ounces by 2 o'clock, because I know from 2 o'clock to the evening time when I'm done with dinner, and done with homework and done all that stuff, and I'm chilling, by the time I get ready to go to bed, that gives me another 7.5 hours to finish that 64 ounces.
Yeah. Right?
So that's less than 10 ounces an hour. Think about that.
Well, and you don't want to.
That's not that much. That's
smaller than a Coke can. Right before you go to bed, too. Because
exactly.
You're waking up five times a night, which old guys we do anyway. But
and you heard me talk about that in a prior episode. How hard that was going through 75 hard, where I had those blocks in the afternoon where I couldn't get to my jug, and I was sitting on the couch at 1:30 in the morning trying to finish that thing. So if you have a systematic way, create systems for yourself to drink the water by a certain time, and it'll keep you on track. So if you start as soon as you get up in the morning. Yeah.
And I do agree that front end load as much of it as you can, because it gets harder as the day goes on.
It does. It does. It gets really challenging.
Technical question, boss. Mm-hmm. So the water has to be pure water. Like if you're drinking other fluids, like let's say you're like, I drink my pre-workout drink and I put that in a 12 to 16 ounce thing. Does that count or no?
So are you asking if you're taking some of the water from your jug and then putting it in your shaker to fuel your powder? Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
So as long as the base is water, like it would, like drinking a beer, having a martini,
doesn't count.
Coffee, that doesn't count.
Nope.
That's what I thought. No.
You can take portions of it I don't like plain water. I can't drink plain water because they're coming. I know they're coming for me too. I just can't do it. Like, number one, yes, you can. You just choose not to.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's start there.
Hey, this,
if you
by the
have
way,
to.
Not that I want to do a plug, but this stuff is Hint. Mm-hmm. Zero calories. This one has it just has a little aroma of watermelon in it, and it doesn't taste. It's got no bubbles. It's got no nothing. You know. So there are ways to disguise your water without hurting it.
You're picking up exactly what I was just getting ready to put down. And I was going to say is you can infuse your own water, guys. the night before, cut up some strawberries and some cucumbers, literally put it in the jug and soak it in the water, mint leaves, bay leaves, whatever it is, put it in the jug the night before, fill the jug, and then you wake up in the morning. Or whatever. Not mint leaves. Sorry, I said bay leaves, didn't I? I was just cooking with bay leaves.
Bay leaves. You can throw some
mint leaves, not bay leaves.
Yeah, throw some oregano in there.
Yeah, put some oregano, basil, thyme. You know, all the all that stuff in there. Make yourself a good porridge in the morning. Yeah. Add some mint leaves in there, and what you'll end up having is a nice infused, naturally infused water in the morning.
That's right. That is
helpful for your palate. So that's an easy way for you guys to meet the goal and not have to suffer through drinking plain water. Because I know there are a lot of people that just can't tolerate a ton of water, just plain water. So there's also great electrolytes that have flavors similar to what you were just talking about. They're good for you. That'll also give you a little magnesium, a little bit of sodium, which is necessary. And that's the other thing too, is keeping in mind, drinking that much water, you're going to also want to have some sodium intake, you know, contrary to popular belief. And that's just to make sure that we're running optimally. The body, especially if you're exercising,
you're sweating
needs
the
sodium.
You've got to put some back. Yeah,
absolutely right. Absolutely right. So, so you're going to want to keep that in mind as well. So
this is another dopey aside, but when you were a kid and you were playing sports, did you have to take salt pills?
Did you ever do that? Fortunately, I did not. There were definitely some guys that I played with that did. They were just constantly cramping for some reason. They just had to have it. I fortunately did not.
Okay.
How about you?
Okay, good. No, I think I did once in a while, just because I'd try anything once, and I'm like, and I like salt, but salt pills are
did
just,
it. It's, yeah. It did was, it, did, it, did you feel any different? Like, did it work for you, or was it more placebo?
I was such a kid. I don't know what felt different. I was in good, I was in good shape. I was playing soccer. I was running around. I didn't cramp up too much. When I did cramp, I usually would drink like milk or something because the calcium apparently helps.
Gotcha.
And lately, because I have this amazing trainer who doesn't like try to kill me every week, I haven't cramped because I've built up to a level where I'm not cramping, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And then there definitely is some systems with that, because we had got to get you to the point where, again, part of that work capacity aspect that we were talking about earlier is I want your body shutting down in the middle of the workout. It's not intended. Exercising isn't meant to hurt you.
I want you
feeling good and be able to get to the.
You don't even take me to the ledge of the cliff. You take me to like a. There's the cliff over there. You're not there yet.
I've dangled you over the edge a couple times, but
yeah, well,
but
that's true.
Yeah. But lately we've been pretty good. Yeah. I get you pretty close to the proverbial red light, right where the yellow meets the red, and then I pull you back.
Yes.
But yeah, so these
the water. So I'm starting today or tomorrow. I'm going to start. I mean, I already
start tomorrow.
Something.
Start tomorrow.
This weekend, water weekend.
There you go. And we'll check in and we'll talk about it on future episodes, see how everything's going and keeping yourself accountable. And that's the other thing too, is accountability. You got to be accountable to yourself as much as you have to be accountable to whoever is guiding the ship. So obviously I'm going to be the one keeping you accountable, making sure that you're doing the right things and answering the questions for you. But for the rest of you guys that are out there listening, have an accountability partner. There's nothing wrong with that. Accountability, you know, helps you get things done and achieve goals. So whether it's small things like getting on an exercise program, which we talked about before, or just, you know, being accountable to drinking your water every day. You know, that is something that you need to do. And then there's got to be some sort of penalty involved if you don't. I have to work on that for you as well. If we do not meet the goal. But look, at the end of the day, we're trying to shave the weight around that, or excuse me, shave the size around that waist.
That's awesome.
The ultimate goal. So regardless of you hitting the target every day of 128 ounces, if you're doing all the other little things don't hit the 128, it's going to move.
One.
You're still going to move the needle. Yeah. And that's what we're looking for.
Well, and that's absolutely. So you will be the whip cracker. I will try to do this stuff. I know we're going to layer more and more stuff in. I don't want to get necessarily to the 75 hard because it's too hard for me.
No, I won't do that to you.
but we can do the 64 going on 65 middle to soft.
Middle to that's it. That's it. But I love it. But I mean, look, you're almost 65 and you're making it look really easy right now because of you've been consistent. So I have no doubt that you will take this task on and be consistent with it. So
and by the way, I will as we gear up and do more with this podcast, you know, we are now live with emails, so we would love it if you guys want to reach out to it.
Todd, if you guys want to reach out.
I'm Todd with 1D at theagelesswonders.com. You are Joynier, J-O-Y-N-I-E-R. Yeah, did I spell it right?
That's correct. Yeah, yeah. J-O-Y-N-I-E-R. Yep. I know people are going to be like, is that Joyner? What Joyner? What's that? What Joyner? What is his name? Joynier.
Joyner's going to be over there. Charlie Joyner.
Charlie Joyner. Like yeah. He's a Charger.
He was a Charger.
He was a wide receiver for the Chargers back in the 80s. Yeah. You youngsters don't know nothing about that. Eric Coryell and Dan Fouts flinging that thing around. Yep.
You know, Kellen Winslow was on that team. Speaking of that, like as we digress, he still does, Dan Fouts does like radio or TV for like maybe for Pac-10 or something. I heard him calling a game.
Yeah. He was on CBS for the longest. And I don't remember exactly when he left, and I didn't know where he went. So that's interesting that he's still announcing. That's cool.
Yeah, I think he's doing well. The soon to be non existent Pac-10.
Yeah, so he's about to be out of a job because Pac-12 is folding shop.
Pac-12, yes, Pac-12. Yep. Pac-12 so sorry.
They're done. It's a wrap.
So you know, speaking of wraps.
Yeah, speaking of wraps.
No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you know what, one of the stats, because I know people were, when we first started, we were talking about people gaining weight as we get older. And I just remembered the study that I read talks about, on average, how much weight people put on as we age. And so I thought I'd give some of the data on that just to kind of wrap this up, just so people can kind of wrap their head around what we're talking about today. So there was a study done by Brigham Young University that took 13,800 Americans, and the scientists report that over 50% of those participants gained at least 5% in body weight during their previous 10 years. So 35% gained 10% or more, 16% gained 20% or more.
Wow. Okay?
It's pretty significant, right?
Yeah, that's
you might be thinking, that's kind of fascinating. Yeah, but not. That doesn't sound like very, very big numbers, right? So the interesting thing is when they gained the weight, and that's actually what stood out to me. So it said on average, participants gained the most weight from their 20s to their 30s, and then less in subsequent decades afterwards. So from their 20s to their 30s, the average person puts on 17.5 pounds. 30s to the 40s, it's 14 pounds. 40s to 50s, it's 9.5 pounds. 50 to 60s, it's 4.6. And 60 to 70s, it's 0.7. So the interesting thing about that too is if you're doing the math, for the average American, that comes out to a total of 46 pounds over the course of adulthood.
I was going
to
say, it's cumulative. It's not like you put on that 20 to 30 stuff and then it goes away. So the reason probably by the time you get to my age, you're not putting on as much is because you already put a lot of it on before that.
Yes.
On the road there, right?
That's true. Yeah. And another big piece of that too is atrophy. As we get older, we start to lose muscle tissue and bone density.
Yeah. Yep,
so
yep.
Body fat's going up, muscle tone is going down.
Well, and to your point earlier about like our parents, you eat less too when you get to be older because you're—
Absolutely.
You're not as active. You don't have as much get up and go. And you're probably, that's when people start to lose weight, you know, when they hit the 70s and 80s.
That's correct.
And it's not the kind of losing weight that I'm trying to do, the healthy losing weight. It's more just the getting old and kind of withering down a little bit.
Yeah. Lost. Yeah. No, it's true. It's true. So I thought that was pretty interesting. And it's different, obviously different for everybody based on their socioeconomic situation and all that stuff. So,
and
I thought that was really interesting.
Right? It's an American.
Yes, this was U.S. data. This was U.S. data.
Because I know that it might be slightly different in other countries where the eating habits are different, or developing countries where they're having a hard time even getting basic nutrition, stuff like
that's
that.
Correct.
We are the country where everyone has plenty to eat for the most part. I know there are people who don't, but those who have overconsume. It's just a fact here.
That's correct.
I mean, you know, I know we live in Los Angeles where you can walk down the street anytime, day or night, and the people are eating like crazy.
People are eating everywhere.
Stuff they don't
fast,
need.
Fast food drive-thrus are always full. Restaurants are always full. I mean, yeah. Granted, some go, you know, come and go, depending on
their, we would never
their situation.
That, of course,
yeah, absolutely. No, never. Too good for that. But the reality is, the situation is different from neighborhood to neighborhood, person to person, right?
Yeah.
Lifestyle, all that stuff matters. But. And generally, though, these are the numbers for the average person in the United States. So we tend to get heavier. And another thing that that I read was that we also start eating more depending on our careers, like what we do. I can speak to that just from my days working in advertising. Like we were constantly eating out. I was always
eating out. That's true.
So I was constantly taking clients to lunch or having vendors taking me out to eat either lunchtime, dinner time, or we'd have lunch and learns where food is catered. Right. So all of that stuff plays a pretty significant role because, you know, it's not like everybody's ordering salads coming into the office right?
And to extend that even further, like I was traveling extensively for work for decades, you know, okay.
I was. Go ahead.
It's all right. See, we live in the real world. Shit happens.
Do. Yep. Got people coming into the setup here. I'm sorry if you guys heard the door as it was opening. Go ahead.
It was. I just saw you're like, give me. I saw you give someone a look. So I feel sorry for that person. But my point was, I traveled extensively. So you get on a plane, you eat the plane food because it's there. Right. If they have any, you get to a place, you're with people you work with. They want to take you to dinner. You go to dinner. You're not going to not eat. If I'm in nice places, like I was in Asia, mostly if I'm in Vietnam, I'm not going to not have a big bowl of pho because it's there, you know, and I'm not going to get it until when I leave. So
that's exactly right.
Those are, I guess, lucky for like you and me now. Maybe post pandemic, our lifestyles have changed a little bit. I'm not traveling as much. You're not in the media world anymore. So we're lucky enough that we probably have a little more control over what we can take in than the busy working person who's stuck saying, you know, I need a lunch real quick and there's only a McDonald's and a cheeseburger place here.
Sure.
You know, we've got more choices. We can be a little better, but not underestimating how tough it is for people who don't have those choices.
Yes, for sure. For sure. So, again, and we'll use you as the litmus and
guinea pig,
live action guinea pig here. So we're going to put some systems in place. We'll talk about it here on the next couple of episodes. But that's really the gist of it, guys. So making small incremental changes in how you are conducting your lifestyle will go a long, long way. But it's natural for us to put on a little bit of weight as we get older.
Cool. All right. Well, listen, thank you everybody for joining us. We are moving forward with our cast here. We're getting better and better and better. And
absolutely.
You know, we'll continue to bring you some hopefully interesting stuff. But now that you have our emails, go to our website, www.ageless-wonders.com. Leave us a comment, send us a note.
Topics that you guys want us to cover, please, by all means, email us, let us know, give us some comments, give us some feedback. If there's stuff that you want us to kick around, we'd love to do that. We'd love to hear from you.
Until then, adios. Ciao.
Have a good day, guys. Awesome.